Hi, my name is Eileen. February is Teens Dating Violence Awareness Month. And we're here today with Sarah McGatney. She's the Program Director of Domestic Violence Services at Unity House. And she's going to talk with us about teen dating violence. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello, thank you so much for having me, Eileen.
What does a teen dating violence relationship look like?
So teen dating violence looks similar to a domestic violence relationship that you would see in an adult, the pattern of behavior rooted in power and control. It looks different in a way that we're really looking at the age demographic, probably 10 through 24 are like, I'm going to say that's my youth age. That's my teenage of like young adults and teenagers, college-aged kids, and then school-age kids, usually getting into unhealthy abusive relationships by 10 or 11. Huge abuse through technology. We've seen higher rates of abuse through technology in our LGBTQAI plus relationships, but just overall abuse through technology is huge. There are warning signs that you can see in your kids, right? Lack of interest. They're isolated. Do they have a broken cell phone, right? That's the number one thing that gets broken in an abusive relationship. The first thing an abusive partner will go to is a cell phone and smash it. And that's because that further isolates the victim. What I don't want you to do is realize, you know, maybe your child is in an abusive relationship and in an effort to help, take away the cell phone, take away social media. You can talk to your child about that and about safety, but you don't want to further isolate them. That's what gives into the perpetrator. And that's why oftentimes these teen victims, they feel like they're being punished, right? Now they're off social media. Oh my God, they can't talk to any of their friends. They don't have a cell phone. They're further isolated. So I encourage parents to have an open conversation and try to come up with the best plan they can to keep their child safe, but recognize the signs like, you know, lack of interest in activities, dressing differently, putting themselves down. That's a big one. So if someone is putting you down all day, like in a dating violence relationship, they're going to start projecting that and they're going to start putting themselves down, or often feeling like they have to check in with their partner about things that don't really make sense. You know, can you hang out with your friend on a Friday night? You shouldn't have to check in with your partner before you agree to that. And be aware of, like, I know it's like the classic teen relationship, like Romeo and Juliet, where they have to spend every moment together. But just being aware that there are times when your child is in a relationship, you know, when they're alone and they're alone with you, and kind of monitoring how much time they're spending together. Because abusive partners will spend every minute with a victim. They never want them to be without them. And if you think about it, that's just another way to isolate them, right? Because if they're never alone to ask for help, then they're always isolated. If they're always with their partner, they're never alone to ask for help. So looking for those things. And then the other thing, the big one is like unusual emotional responses to things, like being a little late for something, being a little late getting home, having your parents say, no, you can't go hang out with that person tonight, and just completely losing it, crying, anger, really just unusual emotional responses that don't fit the situation. Definitely withdrawing from friends, withdrawing from family activities. These are all big things you can look for. The other thing I really encourage parents to think about is, because we always put ourselves in the position of what if our child is the victim? But I really want to encourage parents to think about, what do you do if you believe your child is a perpetrator of violence? Because we can't ignore that. And your child may be hurting just as much. So we always want to help victims of violence. We want to make sure they're safe. But if you feel like your child is a perpetrator, it's important to talk to them same way, listen to them, find out why. But at the same time, take the power away. Because like I said, this is all about power and control. Take the power away. Let them know that you don't tolerate violence, that they're responsible and for anything they do. And there's no matter what the justification is, that they're responsible for their actions, and pressure them into taking accountability. So it's really, really important that we step in as parents for our children if they're being victimized, but also if they're perpetrating, because you want to stop it before it gets to a more severe level that they're getting in trouble. Another big thing I see with teens is like abuse masquerading as play. And where do they draw the line, right? So pretending to play fight, but it actually being physical abuse. I just think for all youth, I'd say like trust your instincts. If you don't feel comfortable and you ask your partner to stop and they won't stop, you need to, it's time to look for some help and some outside resources, because play fighting can turn really dangerous really quickly.
What leads someone to become abusive? Do you think if they come from a household that there is already domestic violence, that might affect that person to be also abusive?
Absolutely. So this is kind of twofold too. So if you have a youth coming from a household where maybe parents or caregiver is in an unhealthy, abusive relationship, that person could come out either a victim or a perpetrator. And it's because we have relationship maps, right? And we start first by learning the relationships at home. And that's kind of where we start our map. And we have a relationship with our parents, and they have a relationship, or our guardians, and then they have a relationship. And so we see that relationship, and we see that also, you know, a guardian or parent having an unhealthy relationship with a child, that can also lead to an unhealthy relationship in school or with as a youth in a teen dating violence situation, because they mirror that. They mirror these relationships. That's how they learn how to have relationships. The other part of this is a child who maybe is living in an abusive home gets into a relationship at school, starts being abused. They think that that's how the relationship is supposed to go. That's what they watch, you know, maybe mom and dad do, or their guardians do. So they think that that's okay. Vice versa too, if they start perpetrating, that's how they see a relationship work at home. And so that's what they mirror. These are the ages where kids are learning how to have a relationship, right? Youth are learning how to have a relationship. This is going to set them up for the rest of their lives. And so if this encounter is unhealthy, they're going to continue down that road, likely to continue in unhealthy relationships unless they learn differently.
What are good ways for parents to intervene?
I believe it starts, you know, with the parents at home early as you can, with these open conversations about respect, about boundaries, about healthy boundaries. This gives you an opportunity, if you're having these conversations as often as possible, it gives you an opportunity if something happens to open the door for your child to tell you what's going on. And I urge you, I know as parents that we just want to make sure our kids are okay, and we want to help them in any way we can. But we have to be able to take a step back and realize that that doesn't always translate to a teenager in particular. Listen quietly, listen to the whole story. Let them tell you. Don't put their partner down, even though, you know, I know you don't want to see anyone hurting your child and you know that that person's abusive, but it's important you focus on your child and making sure that they're okay and listening to the whole story.
What do you think schools should do to support healthy teen relationships?
Absolutely. Schools have to help. Just as much as I said, parents have to help, schools have to help too. They're there for most of the day. Schools have to monitor that. They should be helping to provide prevention education. I believe prevention is key. We need to teach children how to have a healthy relationships, and prevention is so important, and teaching them how to have healthy relationships and supporting victims. Schools should be supporting victims, but at the same time, looking at perpetrators, and maybe it's not always about punishing them, because we don't want it to get to that level. We want to intervene early, support the victim, and look at what are you going to do for the perpetrator, right? You're going to talk to them. You want to find out what's going on, because there is no reason a 12-year-old should be in an abusive relationship or a 13-year-old should be in an abusive relationship. Maybe something is going on at home and you have to dig deeper and look to how you can support them, but also teaching them how to have a healthy relationship, teaching them conflict resolution, because what the answer could be is that they don't know. They saw this at home and they think this is how it's supposed to go and they think this is what they're supposed to do. But teaching them how to have a healthy relationship. But the response I get from schools a lot is often that, and parents too sometimes, is that, oh, they're teenagers, they're crazy, you know, we don't, like, not respecting really what they have to say and not hearing them because you think they're kids and they don't know what they're talking about. We really have to hear them and listen to them and support them through it.
Can you share information for teens where to get help if they find themselves in an abusive relationship or if they want to help a friend that might be abused?
Yeah, and I want to talk too about what if your friend is the abuser?
So that's right.
Yes. So teens, they can all go to Unity House for help if they need help with anything. We can also help their friends. They can call us. Go to a parent. Go to a teacher you trust. And you can even, so the nice thing that I've done to partner with schools is I say, because schools have certain guidelines in place that I don't have in place, right? They have mandatory reportings that they have to go to parents and they have to go to certain people about. I don't have to do all that as a provider. I've told the school, like, call me in as like a middle of the ground person who's confidential, who's safe. I'll talk to the youth and we'll come up with a plan. And then we can all talk to the parent together. Then they don't feel like they're being penalized. Because what happens is the victim and the perpetrator, they're both going to feel like they're going to get in trouble. And we want them to feel supported, the victim to feel supported. We want the victim to feel like it's a safe place. So bringing in a third party who doesn't have any history on the situation and the victim doesn't feel like they have anything kind of against them or anything like that is really important. And I want kids to reach out to us, our hotline, our texting hotline, reach out for help. And I just want teens to know that there are things that we get this picture in our mind of how relationships are supposed to work. And we're really, really in deep on social media, right? And we see like this cute Instagram post of this perfect relationship, this perfect couple. And we don't realize that that's not always what's happening. And it's okay to ask for help. There's nothing wrong with you. Just getting help or getting your friend help. Social, and for a friend who's a perpetrator, social pressure can go a long way. It is that easy for kids to say, why did you do that? That's not cool. And to stop an abusive behavior. And they could tell somebody about it. If they feel like they have to tell somebody about it, I want them to tell somebody about that. I encourage them to. But it's really easy for them to stop those early on with social pressure. If they think their friend is being abusive, calling their friend out on it and saying, that's not okay. Why would you do that? That's weird. Social pressure goes such a long way for kids. Helping their friends, they can reach out to the hotline. Same way they would help themselves, I want them to feel comfortable asking for help for their friends. To a teacher they trust, to a counselor they trust, they can ask their teacher or their counselors or anyone to call us, to call Unity House. I'll send a staff member out there to talk to them about their options, about what we can do, come up with a plan, because I can talk to them before I have to involve their parents and try to involve their parents on a common ground.
Mm-hmm. And what is the hotline?
The hotline is 518-272-2370. And I also want to give you the text line is 518-720-6161.
Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you.